You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
All right, so let's get started then.
Okay.
Let's see if I get my voice back to normal. All right, sorry.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Pop and Stuff. Push your bed when things get rough. HR Pop and Stuff. Can't do a little cause you can't do enough.
This is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I have got Rose.
Hello.
And Scott.
Hello, everybody.
The topic tonight that we are going to be discussing is our favorite television show that was on the year 1971. So the format's going to be that us three co-hosts are going to talk about our favorite TV show from that time period, you know, that we may have come across and watched, you know, by proxy because we had only one television set in our house. You know, it was something that we enjoyed seeing and enjoyed at the time. And just really share, you know, those moments with us. And then if there's anything additional outside of, you know, our one favorite that we want to talk about, you know, we can throw out some honorable mentions as we go. So, 1971 television show, what was your favorite, Scott?
I'm going to go, something, of course, I was only three in 71, so I probably wasn't watching this show when it was on in 71, but, it was on from 69 to 74, and that would be The Brady Bunch. This show is so influential, you know, and even the movies that came out, the spoofs on them back in the late 90s were hysterical. But the Brady Bunch itself, I remember watching those over and over again in reruns. And I don't even know how to explain how much I loved this show. I still do. I think it's fun to watch every once in a while now, too. So it's cheesy, but it's really good. It's good, clean fun, you know.
Very, very wholesome fun.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. But there's so many memorable moments in it, you know, like when Cindy's being picked on by the bully, Buddy Hinton. I remember his name, Buddy Hinton. Mm-hmm. Hinton. Mm-hmm. And then Peter ends up beating him up and knocking a tooth out, and he has to go to speech therapy because Cindy has a lisp, and then, you know, when Greg gets caught with the cigarettes in his jacket, but it's not his jacket, it's the other guy's jacket, and, you know, Mom always said never play ball in the house. Never forget that episode. You know, the basketball goes flying down the stairs and breaks the what was it, the.
Was it a vase?
A lamp. Oh, no, it was okay. A vase. Yeah, it was a vat. No, it was a vase because they put water in it and they put it on the table
right
after they glued it all together and somebody put water in it and started falling apart. So, mm-hmm. Started leaking. Or right. When I'm sorry.
Or when Marcia got her nose busted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
or, the football. Yeah, or when Peter lost his voice and they had a singing group going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Change.
Johnny Bravo, or what was Greg's? Was it Johnny Bravo? It wasn't Johnny Bravo.
It was Johnny Bravo, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, groovy chick.
and they did that whole spoof on in the movie version of it, too.
Yeah.
which was pretty funny. And then there was the middle girl. What was her name? Everybody forgot about Jan.
Yep.
Marsha. I mean, there's so much great stuff from the Brady Bunch. It's still a classic. I don't know anybody. I can't think of anybody that's ever argued that said they didn't like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, it's iconic through the years. I mean, mm-hmm. in everything that we just brought up, it's like that just sticks with you. You're like, yeah, I remember that episode or the episode where Greg and Marcia were having a driving competition and they had that little egg that they couldn't hit. You know, it's yeah. like, you just remember little things like that and they just stick with yeah. you through the years. And you're like, why do I remember that?
or Jan's trying to rub her freckles off with lemons.
wow.
And then we knew Sam the Butcher had a little thing going on with Alice. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things going on there. So
here's a story. Lovely lady.
So, Brady Bunch, was that something that was on your watching radar, Rose?
Oh, yeah. It was like Scott said, it's wholesome family entertainment, and I was always just amazed that, you know, you can get that many people living in the same house and nobody's killed each other yet.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I couldn't even be in the same room without something going down, having to be separated and for whatever reason. The whole premise, you know, he's got three kids and she's got three kids and then they get married and then there's six kids and then there's a housekeeper and you never saw any in-laws. I don't ever remember seeing anybody's parents.
Like Mike, the grandparents, no grandparents.
Yeah. Never saw anybody's grandparents or aunts or anybody like that. But I guess if I had to go to a house with eight people in it, I probably wouldn't want to stay very long either. Like, damn, you got a lot of kids. But
like, Mr. and Mrs. Brady didn't have any siblings.
Yeah, I know, right?
I never thought about that. That's really bizarre. It's like that's a whole new conspiracy concept to me. I never even thought about it. Like, they never had any other family except for some kid, you know, some lost nephew,
cousin Oliver. Oh my god!
Oh, we had to bring up cousin Oliver.
I was watching.
I believe that's right about the same time that Fonzie was jumping the shark.
It was. It was.
So Cousin Oliver was jumping the shark for the Brady Bunch thing.
I watched Mojo when TV shows are tanking.
Yeah.
The desperate.
Desperate move. It's the desperate move. Bring in a cute kid that has a lot of smart little funny things to say. And, we might be able to kick it back into gear again.
Yeah, no, always fails. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but it was a great show, and you got to see a lot of, I got to see Davy Jones on there, so it was, mm-hmm. which was great, because Marcia had, like, this huge crush on him. And
Joe Namath was on it.
Fan club. Joe Namath was on everything.
And then there was, who was the baseball player when Greg was going to give up his...
Mickey Mantle?
No. It was... he was on the Dodgers, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's going to drive me nuts. And then, did you guys ever see A Very Brady Christmas?
No.
Okay, so years after, you know, this is like in the mid to late 80s. They uh-huh. did a Very Brady Christmas, right?
Right. Did everybody come back with their husbands and significant
others? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, and
snowed in or something. I don't remember.
No, not snowed in, but Mr. Brady. Why can't I think of his name?
Mike,
thanks. Mike Brady, he had to go, you know, being an architect, he had to go, mm-hmm. There was some architectural thing going on where he had to go to the job site and he's in this, you know, construction and it collapses.
So
the whole family is there and Florence Henderson breaks into breaks into, like, I think it's like Silent Night or something, you know, some cheesy Christmas song. And it's extremely cheesy. But the best part part of the funniest part for me was when I was in, you know, I was growing up in Southern California and at the time, and the radio guys, you know, they had a morning zoo kind of thing going on. These two guys, Mark and Brian, they talked their way into being in that episode, in that special.
Okay. And
they were cast as concerned onlookers, and they were like standing right behind all the Bradys. Like, so it was just kind of a joke. I mean, it was funny. Uh-oh. What happened with Skype just now? I just got a message. I thought I lost somebody. Sorry.
Nope.
There's nothing. All right.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Move on.
Move it along, folks.
I'm just a concerned onlooker. So anyway, I totally forgot about that episode until we started talking about it. You know, it was a throw. Yeah. It was very touching and deep. And it was not the real, like, I think Cindy was not.
Right.
I think somebody else stepped in for Cindy.
They couldn't get her.
Yeah. There was one person that wasn't from the original cast. But
yeah. So,
Dave, you didn't get to. I've been monopolizing the Brady Bunch.
No, I mean, I was jumping in a little bit there. I mean, they definitely an iconic show. And, you know, I was just thinking as you're talking about Very Brady Christmas, I was like, well, you know, is that the one where they put the cartoon of Boba Fett in there? And
almost as cheesy.
Almost.
And right. Princess Leia sings. Is that the one that?
And it's Life Day.
Yeah, there's a Wookiee family day. Or something.
Chewbacca lifts the carnage off of Mac Brady to get him out, you know, after the collapse.
Okay, now I remember that one. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I chose to forget that one. But no, I mean, there's a lot of great, you know, like I was saying, there's a lot of great iconic memories, you know, for the Brady Bunch where, you know, like I was talking about with them driving the car, you know, trying to be better than the other one. And, you know, exactly what you had said with Jan going, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I mean, all those things stick with you throughout all these years. And I mean, you hear that and it automatically brings you back to, in your head, the theme song, you know, for the Brady Bunch. Yeah. Yeah. And everybody, you know, you just visualize that, you know, the grid where it had everybody's heads and they're looking at each other, you know, where they're looking down and next to each other and smiling. And, you know, you're like, yeah, that's just wonderful. That's just wonderful, iconic 70s goodness. You know, as it was. And, absolutely love that show. And, you know, I still use Hey Groovy Chick to this day. I just love that. You know, it's one step away from Joey from Friends. You know, it's like, how you doing? You know, and it transcends, you know? So it's a great show. It's a great pick.
Cool. So what's next?
What is next? Rose is going to tell us her favorite from 1971.
Well, 1971 was kind of a weird year for me. We had just migrated from the Midwest to the Southwest. 1970, the end of 1970, my family and I wasn't driving, my mom was driving. We took Route 66 from Illinois and we ended up in Phoenix, Arizona. Why, I'll never know. But we were there, and the first year we were there, we lived in this trailer park. You know, and I, all the years that I heard jokes about, you know, trailer parks, I was like, yeah, I lived in one, so what? Mm-hmm. So, I lived with my grandmother for the majority of the time that we lived in Phoenix. And, like I said, one TV, she owned it, and she watched all the soap operas and all the talk shows and all the news and all the game shows. It's like, my God, woman, oh, your day just flew by. But one thing we actually shared, no pun intended, was a love for the Sonny and Cher show.
Nice.
And that actually debuted in 1971. And I had always liked their music as a group. There was always jokes, you know, that Sonny couldn't sing and he was short and all these other things. But he actually, I believe, was kind of like the brains behind the operation of Sonny and Cher. He, you know, he did a lot more than people gave him credit for. And watching the show, it is actually called the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour. You would see a lot of celebrities. A lot of everybody came on, like Jackson 5, and like Joan Amos was on, Joel Grey. He was really big on Broadway at that time. Muhammad Ali was on there. He just won every week. There was always somebody really awesome to showcase. And Cher, with her millions of costume changes and wigs and their sketches that they had. The one, of course, I remember mentioned this before, when her and Terry Garr used to do the two single chicks at the laundromat, and they had these big, huge, you know, the big hair with the cat glasses, and they were always chewing gum, and they had these big flamboyant earrings on, you know. It kind of was like, kind of like the 80s before the 80s.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, they were really kind of like trendsetters back then. And they would just talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. But the show itself was just really, it was very entertaining, because there was always lots of singing and there was always dancing. And like I said, just a lot of comedy. And I really enjoyed, because they, even then, the entertainment shows like that, like Lawrence Welk and Ed Sullivan. Ed Sullivan, that was his last year on the air. Shows like that were starting to dwindle. And because you saw so many of them, like in the 50s and 60s, and then towards the 70s, it's like nobody really wanted to watch stuff like that anymore. And it was one of the few really good shows like that. And there's a term for it, and I don't know why I can't think of it. But
what, you mean like a variety show?
Variety.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, what a variety word was popping into my head. So yeah, so it was a really good variety show, and very entertaining. And who doesn't love Cher? I mean, because my goodness, I don't think there's anything she can't do. So that was kind of like the love of 71. It got me through living in Phoenix, that's for sure. But and being 11, because, you know, I was getting older, you know, being a young kid, and then now you're 11. And I remember there was this one part of the morning that it felt like Groundhog Day almost. It's so weird, because, you know, in the movie Groundhog Day, when they're playing, you know, Sonny and Cher.
So got put your little hand in mine.
Yes. So every morning I would get up. We'd have like the clock radio, and it would go off at 6 a.m. And for the longest time, what's that one by Gordon Lightfoot? Oh, he had just had a hit that came out. I can't even, it was rare. It was there, now it's gone. is it, you could read my mind, love, but a tale my thoughts would tell. Well, whatever that song is called.
I know that song. I can't remember the name of it either.
Every morning at 6 o'clock, I was like, Jesus, oh, they ought to play another song. But that was the opening to radio industry and rotation. And that's the song that they played at 6 o'clock. So kind of funny. Yeah.
I always found that they're the dynamic between those two. I always found that kind of humorous because, you know, whoever was the writer, or I don't even know if, you know, because you said Sonny was kind of the smart one of the group. You know, if it was like something that he had input into being kind of self-deprecating, but I always I always felt that that was kind of the fun element of it. It was kind of like he's, you know, you know that, you know, he's going to get picked on for something, and she's just going to be like, well, I'm the star, you deal with it. And, you know, yeah. it was just kind of, that was their mode of operation, where you just knew that that was going to be the dynamic between those two. And it was a fun, it was a fun chemistry.
It was, they had a really strong chemistry, and they would, I like when they'd bring Chastity on, because she was such an adorable little kid, and then every so often, you know, they would bring her, you know, because, you know, she was on set, you know, for most of it, and then they would just bring her on stage, you know, and she just looked so cute. But Steve Martin actually was one of the writers. They had a lot of writers in that series, but he was one of the writers.
Really?
For their show, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat.
Sonny and Cher, what does that do for you, Scott?
Well, if I could turn back time.
Oh, dear God.
Thank you. Okay. If I could turn back time, I'd actually go back and pay attention to the show, because I remember it being a variety show. I don't have a lot of input on it, other than it. I just know that it was popular at the time, but I don't remember much about it. Other than I'll tell you, I do love the whole concept of those cheesy ass variety shows. It's hysterical, and it's funny. It's so funny how our culture at the time was like really into it. You know, they love those shows. Now you can't do that now. It would flop very quickly.
Yeah. Now, I think those segued into the talk mockumentary shows.
A mockumentary on a variety show from back then might be funny. Maybe one.
Oh yeah.
You know, one that would movie. Be Maybe we should talk to Michael McKeon about that and have him get on that. him and his gang, you know, Christopher Guest and all those guys do a spoof on variety shows of the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
This is a good idea. This could be, especially for that group of people, you know. they would really be able to pull it off with, you know, Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, all those people. Oh, that would be hysterical. I might have to pitch that idea.
Who do we know? My friend. Who do we know?
Anyway, you know, there was a bunch. I love the concept of the variety show. So I'm sure I would be able to go back and actually watch a few episodes and be entertained.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Just for the spectacle of it and learning about our culture at that time. Of what we like to watch as America.
Yeah, I'm actually.
And it was still.
I'm scrolling through their the list of guest stars, and I'm just amazed by the names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it's impressive, really.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, from Dick Clark to you know, Phyllis Diller, Farrah Fawcett. Red
a lot
Fox.
Of music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I even saw Ronald Reagan on the list.
Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
Which, you know, she knows variety shows. Anybody does.
Well, yeah, and CBS too, so you know there's going to be a lot of crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfman Jack. Oh, my God.
Woo-hoo! Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, I tell you, man.
Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell.
Ooh, Vincent Price. Awesome.
I love Vincent Price.
Jack Plants.
That's nice. It. I'm building a time machine.
Yeah, I tell you, these are great.
Go back there.
There's an astronaut on this list.
Ah!
Really?
Glenn Ford.
Oh.
Glenn Ford?
Yeah, he shot out and observed the flat Earth.
You mean not Glenn Ford here? Glenn Ford is an actor.
Oh, yeah. Who's the other one? Glenn?
Oh, this
John
is
Glenn?
John
Glenn? Yeah, is that
Man, yeah, Bonsai Retro Club, where we get facts completely right all the time.
Hey. You know. I can't always get it. I can't. My brain doesn't always work right.
Hey, I couldn't think of the word variety either. So
yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I couldn't remember Mike Brady's name.
All right, we help each other. We are here for each other.
Ooh, Evel Knievel was even on there.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the most difficult names to pronounce correctly, Engelbert Humperdinck.
What a great name.
Humperdinck. Humperdinck. I can't hear you. I'm not listening. Humperdinck. Oh, wait, that's 80s.
Donnie and Marie was on there, too.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, nice.
Darlings.
All right. So, I guess that leaves over to my pick for 71.
It does.
And on the same kind of vein, I'm kind of following the lead of the same kind of format that Rose was talking about. But the important thing to note is that with my pick, you know, in 71, I was, for the most of that year, I wasn't one yet. So it's not like I was watching this show in 1971. So it was something that I watched later, but it's something that I grew to appreciate.
Because, it was infant still pooping in diapers, Dave.
Yeah. So it was something that I had grown to appreciate, and I've now, you know, I've watched the reruns, and I love this show. Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, awesome.
I love the Carol Burnett Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Just, you know, that show never gets old. That show is funny to this day. Mm-hmm. And I just love her stage presence. I love, you know, when she's out there talking, conversing with the audience and just, you know, answering questions. And I love when you have, you know, a person, you know, a celebrity or a star or whatever, that's so giving of, you know, themselves to just share whatever it is, you know. And it's like any random person can just say, hey, you know, I want to come up and give you a hug. She'd be like, all right, come on, let's go. You know, I love that about her. So she's just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And then the show was just so, so funny. I mean, Tim Conway, I just love watching him, you know, and
him and Harvey Korman.
Him and Harvey, just trying to make each other laugh.
The chemistry between those two was intoxicating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the laughter that they produced was because of the way they played off each other.
Right.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I don't even know what that would have been like. Was like, you know, if they were, you know, working together to just kind of, you know, go through, you know, here's what's going to go on the show. You know, maybe they don't like go all in at that point. They just go through some of the motions and they're like, save it for the show, save it for the show. And, and then, you know, and then they just let it rip and just try to break each other up. You know, that's, you know, it had to be like a competition between each other. You know, I'm going to make you laugh on this one, you know, and.
Yeah. I think they did.
Yeah. And it had to have been just a wonderful, fun set to work on. I probably would have just like nonstop laughter, I would think. And then Vicki Lawrence, yeah, she was awesome too. And then all the different guests that were on that show. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't say enough good things about the show. And if I'm like changing channel and seeing that it's like on MeTV or something, I'm stopping. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm stopping to see what's going on. And I just love it, you know, and there's so many iconic sketches that, you know, they were doing mm-hmm. where, you know, Carol Burnett was like the secretary.
Mrs. Wiggins.
Yeah, Mrs. Wiggins. There you go. And, you know, different things where, like, you know, Tim Conway's like trying to prepare food, you know, as like a cook, and he's just mm-hmm. so slow and, you know, did you want mayo on that? You know, it's like, you know, it was just driving Harvey Korman up the wall, you know, and it was, absolutely. I loved it.
Yeah. there's several skits that just automatically pop into my mind. And one was, you know, most of them were Tim Conway and Harvey Korman that were my favorites. However, there were quite a few where Carol Burnett and Vicki Lawrence would play off each other also. And then the four of them would get going in a skit where none of them could keep a straight face anymore. It was just all them just like hiding their faces and laughing. And it was, and that is so, like I said, it's intoxicating. It's transferred to the audience and to not only the live audience that's there, but everybody that's watching it. You can't help but laugh when people are screwing up like that. Or not screwing up, but just making each other laugh, you know? And I love that it was like done like a live show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it was like live, like Saturday Night Live was live at that time in that time slot. I don't know. I'd have to read a little bit more into it. But they shot it like it was live.
Yeah.
And they didn't cut out any of the, you know, any of the mistakes or anything. They just went with it. And it was, that's one of the funniest things to watch. And like, one specific skit that pops into my head is Tim Conway is a dentist and Harvey Korman is the patient, and Tim Conway is going to give him the Novocaine and he accidentally gives it to himself. And he's like, you know, he can't move his hand. He's like, his leg goes numb because he sticks himself in the leg. And it was just, it just kept going from there. It's so funny. Or Tim Conway with his old, like the old man when he would shuffle his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like he couldn't, he'd shuffle his feet real, really short steps. And like he'd get to a seam in the carpet, between the carpet and the floor. And he'd have to like try to jump over it, you know, just little tiny hop. Oh man, I miss those guys. I miss watching that stuff because that's good comedy right there. Hysterical. The whole cast was just too freaking funny.
I've done the Tim Conway thing, like where there's like a step, and like mm-hmm. I act like there's a big dramatic like jump I've got to do, and then I just take a very casual step.
Yeah.
But you know the build up to it makes it look like there's going to be a lot more involved than just a step.
Yeah.
And it's just like step.
Yeah, and then. And then you talk about, you know, guests on this show too, like you mentioned with the list of people that were on Sonny and Cher. This is another one that had, man, the list, it just goes on and on.
Yeah. It
ran from 67 to 78. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being a teenager still watching it.
Awesome pick.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, actually, I just scrolled down on Wikipedia to the guest stars, and it's going to take too long to even like give credit to it.
Yeah,
and you'll see that a lot of those same people were on the Sonny and Cher show too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like the first one on the list, Don Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Nabors was on every season premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I would just.
So, Carol Burnett, Rose.
One of the best shows on TV bar none. It's just everything that you all have mentioned, you know, that encompassed who they were as an ensemble cast. Let's not forget the super hunk, Lyle Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the one of the most underrated cast members, because I think because he was so good looking, nobody really thought he could be funny, but he was the straight guy for a lot of the scenes. And, of course, you know, if they needed a hunky guy for a love interest part, then he was, that was him there.
I will say he had some damn fine hair.
Yeah, he did. Oh boy, had it going on, I'm telling you. And then it just was so cool to watch such seasoned comedians and actors just totally lose their shit. You know, when Tim Conway was such, he would do it on purpose. You ever watched any of the interviews between him and Harvey Korman, you know, or any of the outtakes or anything like that? He would do it on purpose. You know, just they would, like you said, they probably had bets to see who could laugh, you know, first.
And I'm betting Harvey Korman lost most of the time.
He did, because he you know, it was difficult for him.
Tim Conway could pull it off. He could go through a scene and not crack a smile.
Absolutely.
And it was the funniest stuff ever, man. Ugh.
Yeah. And then when they discovered Vicki Lawrence, and they brought her on the show, and she's like a little mini Carol Burnett. And the first time I saw her out of costume, I thought, oh my God, she's just a baby. She is dressed up as Mama. You know, with those pantyhose, you know, the thigh highs that came to the knee.
Yeah.
You know, just like, who did not see somebody dressed like that, you know, with the flowered dress? And I think she even had an apron on still, and that hair. Oh my God. This could have been anybody's grandmother. Seriously. But, you know, and just see her out of costume and out of character is like, wow. And then, of course, she could sing, and everybody knew how to do everything. So it's just an amazing show, you know, and it probably could have lasted a little longer. But, you know, a lot of things were happening in the entertainment field at the time, where people were going to the movies. There was, you know, VHS was on, you know, on the go, and, you know, people were going to nightclubs and all kinds of stuff like that. So there wasn't a lot of people staying home watching TV anymore. But, it would pick up later, but it just, great stuff. That was a great pick.
Yeah, you just reminded me of their spinoff, Mama's House.
Mama's Family.
Oh, yeah. We loved watching that one. That was a good, my daughter loved that show. It's just, you know, and they had so many people that they would bring on, you know, the character Ken Berry, you know, from Mayberry RFD, he was on there. And, quite a few people would come.
Yeah, it was definitely, yeah, it was fun to see that they, you know, they took that concept or that skit and then they made it into a show, you know, and were able to keep it going, and it's still playing well, you know, because they had the source material that was just, you know, fed into, you know, an ongoing sitcom so well.
Right. And I'm sure ratings had a lot to do with it too. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, they went back in and did the demographics or whatever the statistics on ratings when they would show that particular sketch, you know, and they'd get the feedback from that and go, okay, yeah, I think this is comedy gold here.
Yeah, this is a hit.
Yep, definitely.
All right, so those are our 71 favorite TV shows. Do you guys have any honorable mentions before we wrap things up?
Yeah.
Okay.
One that actually debuted in late 71 was The Electric Company.
Good call.
Yeah.
And also late 71, Soul Train. Yep.
It's all how you say it. Soul Train.
Soul Train.
Good stuff.
Soul Train is awesome. You see clips every once in a while of them, you know, some of the shows, and just it is some good stuff. And I love old R&B like that. And and funk and all that dance stuff that they were going through in the 70s. So yeah, this one jumped out at me. I'm like, oh, I'd love to mention that. So
something that I wanted to bring up because it was on, but it was something that I got to appreciate later in life, much like, you know, Carol Burnett Show, Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Nice.
Absolutely. Monty Python.
It's Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah.
You know, a pointy stick. I just love the that skit. Ooh, what are you going to do when you get attacked with a pointy stick? Ooh, okay. All right. So, Rose, what about you? Any honorable mentions?
Yes. Definitely Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson Show was a really good show on TV. Flip Wilson was way before his time, I think. His Geraldine. I remember going into the department store where I lived at in Phoenix, and I'd go to the toy department and I'd play with all the toys for something to do. And there was a Geraldine doll, and it talked. And basically what it is you'd pull the string and it would say whatever Geraldine, the clean things that Geraldine would say, because Flip Wilson wasn't always, you know, family friendly. But so I would sit there and I'd just, you know, wait until I heard like my favorite saying that she would say. And then, yeah, I'd get bored and I'd go do something else. But definitely Flip Wilson and McMillan and Wife. I like the chemistry between the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Rock Hudson.
I don't know. I really didn't watch either one of those.
Really? You never saw McMillan and Wife with Rock Hudson? And
no, I don't remember that one at all.
Nope, that one's got. I've got nothing on that one, Mike. Either. So.
Wow, guys. This is St. James.
Okay.
I had to look her up.
Yeah. Is she hot?
Yes. As far as I know.
Was she hot? Wow.
He thought so. And he was gay, so.
Oh, well. That says a lot.
She must have been.
So, one. There's another one that I want to give an honorable mention to. This one was really awesome, and it had a long run. It wasn't just 71. It was 63 to 88, and then they started again in 2002. It was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Oh, man.
Good stuff.
Harlan Perkins.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Know. I was looking up a picture of Susan St. James.
Good. You should.
Yep. And as soon as I saw her face, I was like, oh, okay. So
I know who she is.
I know who she is, yeah. It's just I didn't put the name to the face is what it is.
That's quite all right. Yeah. I don't know if she did really well in the 70s, but I don't know if she did anything outside of the 70s. I'm sure she probably did, but, you know.
She does look familiar. Like, I've seen her, like, in something in a later TV show. I just can't remember it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that sounds like we're wrapping things up. So those are our favorite TV shows from the year 1971. Hopefully you got something out of that, listener, that, you know, we sparked some memories for you, and you kind of reminisced about, you know, some shows that were on in 1971. If there's any we missed, we'd love to hear you tell us, you know, what those were. You could do that by going to our website at BonsaiRetroClub.com. That's BANZAI. And leave us a voicemail. Or you can drop us an email at McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. Let us know if there's a 1971 TV show that you were really into that we didn't discuss, and you know, we will definitely talk about that on a future episode. So the other thing that we like you to do is if you go to our website, there are links to our social media places. So you can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of good jazz. All those links are there for your convenience, so please go there and do that. Another thing that is at the very bottom of the front page is this thing called Patreon. Scott, why don't you tell us about that?
So Patreon, and this is we're going to be changing Patreon a little bit, or at least advancing it a little. Like we mentioned another episode before, that new Patreon subscribers will start to get bonus material, like when Rose and Dave and I are talking behind the scenes and stuff before we get into the meat of whatever topic. But it's just a way to support us, help us support the show through maybe even a monthly donation or a one-time donation, and you guys get to hear a little bit extra for those donations. And that helps us just keep the website up and running and all that stuff, because none of that stuff is free. So that is Patreon. Go to the website and just click on the link, and it'll take you right to the right place.
Very cool. Another thing that we'd like you to do as our listener is leave us a review on iTunes. Rose is going to yell at you now.
Hey, leave us a review. I'm done.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah.
Yep.
With yelling.
Okay. Anything else you want to go on that? You want to expand on that, or is that good?
Well, yes, that's good enough.
Okay.
They've been listening to the show. They know. We know what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to go on iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and listen to our podcast and love our podcast and review our podcast. And then we could possibly maybe mention them on the air while we're doing our podcast.
We could do that.
We could
totally read reviews on the podcast.
I know.
We might do that.
Hmm.
If we get more reviews.
We have some reviews. We should start reading a few.
We should start reading a few.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that in the next episode.
Okay.
Good.
Maybe yes. We will. All don't. Right. Hey, maybe. Don't push maybe me. Yeah, exactly.
Don't I'll make me you. Come back there.
Exactly.
Don't because push if I because I'm close to the edge.
Because if I read those reviews and you know one of our listeners isn't on there, we're calling them out. You know, we're calling them out that they're not on the list of leaving us reviews, and we'll know who you are, and you're in trouble. You'll have to stay after the podcast in detention.
Yeah, and you'll have to clean the blackboard.
Yes, exactly.
Clap the erasers.
And you don't want to be that person, so leave us a review, and you won't get in trouble.
If I have to come back in here, I'm cracking skulls.
Does Barry Manilow know you rate his wardrobe? What I love is I caught the reference. It doesn't happen very often. So as we say at the end of these things, we just want everybody to be excellent to each other, you know, just a good state of mind, treat everybody like you want to be treated, just very solid advice for the world, the wacky world that we live in. As I say at the end of these things, we have no idea when you're listening, so have a good whatever. Bye.
Adios.
Adios.
Now I speak Spanish.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel said.
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!